I surrender security as I have confidence in growth. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with instant inspiration. I surrender security as I have confidence in growth. When we are moving, growing, expanding, enlarging, encompassing more and more wonderful experiences in life, we take chances. We take risks. We surrender security. Surrendering security doesn't mean we don't use McAfee and Norton on our computers to get rid of the viruses and what have you. Surrendering security means that we take a risk and move into life's expectancies. Yeah. How do we do that? How do we move on? Well, a lady called for counseling the other day, and in the counseling she said that her husband had just run off with another woman, and it upset her very much. And I told her, great. And she said, what do you mean, great? She said, I love him. I want him back in my life. I said, well, he went because you didn't love him the way he wanted to be loved. Oh, come on now. How do you know how I loved him? Well, he'd be still there in your arms if he was the most important, the most wonderful, the most fantastic, the most glorious, the most exciting man in the world. And if you were the most exciting, important, wonderful, and beautiful, and glorious, and supercalifragilistic woman in the world. Yeah, but who's that? She said. And I said, well, whoever it is, it ain't you, and it isn't him. When you decide that you are so wonderful, that he is the most wonderful man in the world, and you are so wonderful, you will have him right back in your loving arms. But if you treat him as though he is a chattel, something to be pushed around, something to be demanded of, if he comes home late for dinner and the first thing you do is, where were you? Who were you out with? What were you doing? Well, he's liable to say, who are you? My jailer? Are you my parole officer? Are you my warden? Are you my wife? Oh, yeah, you're my wife, yeah. I forget wives have the right to interrogate and intimidate their husbands wherever they've been. Yeah, 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 but think if it were on the other foot. And think if I had gone out and I'd come in. And what would you expect him to say? Would you expect him to say the same thing that you said to him? Well, what you do is you expect him to say, oh, sweetheart, did you have a good time? Never asking where you were, never asking with whom you were, never asking how much money you spent, never asking any of those questions, but just knowing that you are the most devoted, lovely, fantastic wife in the world who has perfect freedom to go and do silly things and good things, but everything that you do is in keeping with being my wife. When the husband thinks that way, then the wife is great. And the wife thinks that way. The husband thinks however the wife thinks the husband thinks. And the wife thinks however the husband thinks that the wife thinks. It's up to each to make their criteria for their relationship. Now, does your husband think that you're the greatest gal in the world, that you're the most beautiful creature that ever came down the pike? Does your husband think that he wouldn't trade you for a million Marilyn Monroe's or a million actresses or wealthy people or anything, because he loves you? Oh, that sounds so good, doesn't it? Now, does your wife think that you're her man? In Europe, they have a statement that says, meine Mann, my man. My man means husband, but meine Mann, right? Huh?
Mein Mann.
Mein Mann. That means my husband. That means my special one. That means my man. Not belonging to anybody else, but mine. And that's a good statement. Except they forget too. And it becomes habit. Like the Swiss, they live at the edge of the world where the Alps is the most beautiful and the mountains are the most glorious and the snow is the most generous. And they don't even look at it. They turn their backs on the beautiful view window to look at television. Oh, that's another story. Okay. I surrender security as I have confidence in growth. When you get better and better and better, you don't worry about whether your wife thinks you're better. When you get better and better and better, you never wonder whether your husband thinks that you're better. You know it. You live it. You express it. You are it. You surrender that false sense of security that says, was that all right, dear? Did you enjoy last night? Is everything okay? You don't ask stupid questions like that. You just say, oh, sweetheart, you're the greatest. And now you don't have to say anything else, you know? You don't have to say anything or think anything else. And when he says, well, love, let's see if we can top that. I doubt it, but let's try, okay? So he comes home from work the next night, and he says, you ready? Already? And he says, well, whatever. And she says, yes, I am. She says, just a moment, please. She goes in the bedroom and jumps into her evening gown. Her evening, not nightgown, her evening gown. And then she comes out. And then she has the dining room door closed when he comes in. And so she opens the door. She knew when he was coming. And she had the candles lit and everything was ready. She opened the door and said, voila, and turned off the living room lights. And they sat down to a sumptuous dinner that she had all prepared. And she says, this is just part one. This is just part one, sweetheart. And you see, that's falling in love again. And that's remaining in love again. And that's living in a relationship that marriage presumably calls for. A relationship where the man and woman enjoy each other's company, whether in bed or at the dinner table or just riding down the highway, anywhere at all. Anywhere at all. And you see, you got to let go of your security blanket, though, to have that. Because you can't think that your husband's going to say when you put on your evening gown and open up the dining room door and say, here's the dinner. Who was here before I got home? No way. He is only going to ask a question like that if you have it in your mind. See, jealousy starts someplace like a little disease, and it just spreads. So never start it. Never give it its initial push, unless you like that. And some people do like that. And they have marriage after marriage after marriage. And they wonder, why do my marriages fail? Well, look at the people whose marriages don't fail. They're not too frequent, but look at them. And see how they treat each other. They treat each other like beautiful beings, like like masters. Look at how they treat each other. They treat each other with love, with delight and appreciation. Are you treating your spouse that way? Are you treating your partner that way? Are you treating your friend that way, or your associates in your life? You know, it's all up to us what kind of people we populate our world with, what kind of people we give residence in our world, you know? It's all up to us. Now, you laughed as I was telling you the story of the woman jumping in her nightgown, in her evening dress, and you laughed at the thing as, ooh, yes, you were great. I tell you, you don't need to answer that. Dear, I love you. And when you say that, the meaning of the universe is there. And when she responds or he responds and says, you know it's me also, you know. Words are superfluous when it comes to affections of the heart or any type of relationship. Let your security blanket go. Let your surrender security to living valiantly, vitally, recklessly, if you will. Living with excitement. Living with magic. And when you do that, wow. Now, you're not married. You're not married. You're not married. How could you live recklessly when you don't have a partner, a friend, or companion to live recklessly with?
It's myself.
Well, Sylvia says, live recklessly with myself. All right, Sylvia, what sort of a illustration would you give to us about living recklessly with yourself? Now, really recklessly.
What does that mean, recklessly?
Well, with abandon.
With abandon.
Just jump on the roller coaster, you know. Ah! You know, go down the ski slide, and you never learned how to ski. Just abandon, just with joy.
Do something daring, yeah.
All right, now what would you do? We gave a few illustrations here, you know.
Stand on your head when your husband comes.
Then, oh, yeah,
not for herself,
sure.
She does for herself.
Yeah, but now yourself, right? What would you do to
abandon?
Well, like, what does Irene do? She jumps out of airplanes with parachutes and bungee cords. She gets in her car and she drives to people who are dying, and she says, "You look wonderful. You're fantastic. I think you're just great." And people look at her and say, "Don't you know I'm dying?" She says, "I don't know that. I know that you're living right now. You may be dead in a minute or so, but right now you're living, and I love what I see. You're a glorious, dynamic, wonderful." Really? I wish I could live a little longer. You can. You give yourself permission to. And don't you think that's living recklessly? I mean, don't people might say, "Who do you think you are, acting like God with me?" Well, she didn't act like God with him. She taught them to act like God with himself. And that's beautiful. And that's beautiful. And that's what we should do. When people come in our life and they have problems, we tell them to act like God with himself. When people come in our lives and tell us that the world is kind of rough, we just say, "Hey, open your eyes so wide that the bright light of your eyes blinds everything out." It doesn't blind, but it wipes everything out. It's not in keeping with what you believe. It's wonderful. Think on these things. They are great. I surrender security as I have confidence in growth. How are you growing? You're growing to be all that you are. And you're not really growing at all. You're what?
Being.
You're revealing who you are. You see, Ellen is listening to the words that I had said in the Art and Science of Wholeness and the Song of the Spirit and in Illuminations. She's not listening to what I said in the subsequent books to the relative, where we have talked about the relative, which is in being and which is in revealing. Let us reveal that which already exists. How can you be something? You are. You can be aware of it. And that's neat. Are you aware of who you are?
Yes.
Great. Are you aware?
Yes.
And you? Oh, for sure.
Yes.
Okay. Then surrender your security blanket. Turn them in right here. By the way, I was in the Citadel, and I looked in the dresser there. And I thought to myself, you know, a bunch of empty drawers. They're all filled with blankets. I would think that the drawers would be all empty, so when guests come, they can put things in there. Mm-hmm. But if they're full of blankets, so you can't put things in there.
Yeah.
In the Citadel. What? Did I say Citadel?
Yes, but in which dresser?
Downstairs.
Oh, the one.
By where Rhonda slept. Yeah, by the door. Hmm? So, surrender your security.
Take the blankets out.
Take the blankets out. Put them in the embassy garage so that when guests come, they can go pick up what they like and go. Hmm?
Absolutely.
Sure. Everything should be taken out. The pillows should be taken out of there.
Yeah.
They should be put into the embassy garage because we don't need any of those things in there. Just make it stripped naked bare. And they go in there and then they have to furnish it themselves from the garage. From the garage. At the embassy, because everything is there. But when it's neatly put away, it's a lovely experience to play. Okay, I surrender security as I have confidence in growth. Go for it and have a ball. And remember, life is only as beautiful as I make it. And I do make it beautiful. I love you, I love you, I love you.